I think that, you know, as realtors and business owners, you kind of become personal brands, and it evolves and transcends. So it's not just, you know, the bricks and mortar. It ends up being a bigger thing. So patience is a huge thing I've had to learn. I had to learn it the hard way. Sometimes you go into things expecting things to happen quickly, but that might not be the best route.
But I love that patience. I'm probably the most impatient person behind James. So it's
okay, we are back. Welcome to Rise Above the Ranks. We are back today with a brand new episode where today we are joined by London's hottest realtor, Tony Corbin. We're excited to have a fellow Brit join the show today, primarily known for his house tours on TikTok, among other content. Toby is a man of the world, traveling to some incredibly unique places. We're all excited to have you join us, Toby. First and foremost, thank you for being here. How are you doing, mate?
Thanks, James. Yeah, I'm excited to be here with the two of you. I've seen you guys obviously online and on a big screen. So you guys, honestly, Toby, this is a surreal moment. I wish I could have met you guys more informally, formal, whatever. But this is crazy that I'm meeting you guys, by the way.
Super happy. Do you ever come out here?
I do, but like not LA, but America. I mean, I hadn't been back because of the COVID travel ban. So I went back in December, but I'm going to start coming back more frequently. But I'm doing well. I'm here in London. It's not as sunny as LA, but it's going well.
Welcome, Tobe. Welcome. We just actually flew back from London. We were there last 2 days ago, Jim, right?
It wasn't even 2 days ago. We just got back to LA, literally Tuesday.
We got lucky with the weather. And I just spoke to my brother, actually. He said it's still sunny. So congratulations.
And it's about to piss down with rain here in LA. So there you have it, my man. So Toby, let's get right into it. Tell us about yourself. What got you interested and started out in the real estate career?
Sure. So I guess the earliest point I can remember was a mate of mine in uni who was an agent. I went to uni in the States, and being an agent is kind of like second nature for a lot of people in the States. And he took me on kind of like a day in the life with him, and I got to see kind of how he works. I got to see an open house and just the basics. And that was enough to kind of inspire me to figure it out when I got back. And got back to the UK, applied to a bunch of firms, hopped into the corporate world quite quickly. And it was that point where I realized that wasn't for me, at least the UK version of property. Far too traditional. I'm very entrepreneurial myself. Started a few businesses in my early ages. And I just wanted to provide that personal touch. And I couldn't really do that. So I decided to venture out on my own. Had a bit of backing, I guess, from a kind of brokerage system that they had in the UK. And did a few deals by myself. The old cold calling helped a lot. Managed to get a few deals over the line. And COVID hit. So I was stuck at home, didn't know what to do, had this business, had no salary coming in. And I thought it was over. I thought that was it. I made a huge mistake. I should have stayed with my corporate job where I had the guaranteed salary. I had the guaranteed everything. And I was like, look, I have to do something. Saw social media as an outlet to build a personal brand, provide some value, and just kind of market myself as an agent, and essentially started uploading some videos. First one was kind of like a property one of my clients had for sale. Did kind of well, but what stuck out to me was the comment section where someone was like, hey, I'm in the building next door. Can I get some more information on this? And it was a well put together comment. It didn't seem like a child or a teenager. So I thought, okay, look, there's potential clients on these apps. So I took it seriously. I kept posting. My next video, luckily enough, went viral. And from there, I realized, you know what, this is something serious. I'm gonna take this seriously. So I kept posting. And 4 years later, here we are. Managed to close some deals through social media. I've built quite a presence for myself. And I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful. I'm still on the journey. I'm still early, funny enough. And I'm happy to be where I'm at the moment. And I'm taking it all in, essentially. So that's my story so far.
Amazing. Quick question, because obviously you've already built an incredible following on social media, which is not easy to do because it's all about consistency and being unique, right? Being yourself. You've actually got some press coverage from some of your social media on a variety of outlets. What's been the most surreal thing that's happened to you as a result of that?
Ooh, from the press? Honestly, the press is amazing. I think for me, it was the most surreal thing was getting clients contact me from my Instagram, having them DM me, having people that I looked up to in different industries that are kind of, I guess, renowned in their own right, say, hey, I'm looking for a home, or do you know anything about this home for sale? That's been the most surreal thing, and it still is every day. So press is phenomenal. I appreciate all the press that I can get, especially when it's organic. I mean, it's only organic for me. I guess it's the socials. It's just that inbound lead and someone contacting me and saying, hey, can I get some, can I inquire into your business or into what you do? How can I use your services? So yeah.
Love it, man. Love it.
I think everybody that is, 15 to 40 is trying to use social media, right? In at least our world of real estate. And the ones that do always want to know, like, what was it that drew so many eyeballs to your content? Why do you think the audience were connecting with you? What did you do differently? And I think that the thing I find is that people that decide to use social media, they think they can do it twice and then they're going to go viral and the rest is history and they're going to make loads of money. But I'd love to know, like, what it is that you think made people connect with you. Is it consistency? Is it authenticity? Is it a combination? Like, what really got people hooked on Toby Corbin?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. I think for me, what it was intent. I'm truly a believer in intent. And I started out with the intent of building my personal brand, providing some value and marketing some homes, not even to sell homes. You know, I've always been kind of someone that's thought about the long game and things. So I just figured, look, if I'm gonna do this long term, if this is gonna be a career for me, how can I start out the best way possible? And my intent wasn't to sell. So I guess to answer your question, it was how can I give some value to people without necessarily looking for anything back immediately. So all my content that I first put out, at least my first 50 to 100 videos weren't even me selling. You know, I'd partner with agents, I would showcase some homes, and it was just kind of like, what do you think about this? Or even there was some educational content, best ways to rent, how to rent, tips and tricks. So things like that. I think it was the value, the value, the information and the intent. Obviously, I think authenticity and whatnot was played a part.
Yeah.
But I definitely think it wasn't selling immediately. That was what helped.
I think every agent that's watching this right now wants to know the answer to this question from you, Toby, the pro, is what makes a good house tour video?
What makes a good house tour video? I would say it's catching the right angles of the home. You have to, walk through the home, try and figure out what the best points are in the home, the best places, things that are visually appealing. Going through that house, then on video and capturing it as you'd see it in your right, if you were walking through the home. So yeah, I would say it's capturing the right angles, showcasing the best things possible, having a gimbal, having, stabilization. I think that really helps. Editing also plays a big part.
And let me ask you, because I was on your page the other day, like, you're not just doing homes now, right? Like, I saw you going, I forget which football club it was for Americans, that's soccer. I saw you like down on the field of a football club. Like, you're now sort of branching out. Is real estate still your focus, or do you have like a bigger vision of where this is now going?
Oh yeah, I mean real estate for me is that's the career that I've chose. I think that, as realtors, and business owners, you kind of become personal brands and it evolves and transcends. So it's not just, the bricks and mortar, it ends up being a bigger thing. So that was very natural. You know, I love football. I played football growing up. And yeah, that was just an opportunity I got. And funny enough, it was that was through a real estate arm who were sponsoring that whole thing that came about. But yeah, I guess real estate is more than the bricks and mortar. So I just try and I try to naturally fill everything out without overextending. You know, you won't catch me kind of, I guess, promoting underwear or swimwear or
good
stuff,
man.
Like that.
So. I'll never forget, Dave and I did Million Dollar Listing for 8 years. And, you know, we got offers here and there. And one was from a fried chicken company. I won't mention any names.
Oh, man.
And I was like, God, we do love money, but really we cannot put our name to the fried chicken guys. Like, it's just, it has to be.
Do we not do it?
No, we didn't. We got a lot of gift cards, but I never ate any of them. But I will say, like, anything that you do, Toby, anything that anyone does around the social media world, it has to feel authentic to your brand. It has to feel real.
Speak for yourself.
We do love fried chicken, but we don't need to sponsor
it. It's good stuff.
But you've got to be authentic to who you are, right? And who Toby Corbin is, who James is, who's David is, that's not who everybody else is. So I think if you're going to find a niche on social media, find what feels authentic to who you are so that your followers can really connect with you. Because if you're doing something that doesn't feel authentic, people aren't going to buy into it. Like you just said, football's authentic. You played football. People could connect to you when you're on the pitch and you're talking about a club. So be real, be authentic. But I do have to ask, have you heard that Selling London is coming out, which is the franchise of Selling Sunset? And what's the talk on the street in London about that show coming out?
I did see that show coming out. I mean, it looks interesting. You know, I think, you know, any way that an agent's trying to mix things up and innovate the industry, I'm all for it. I think a lot of the time it takes the right people being able to do it. And, you know, putting yourself out there, going on TV is a hard thing. You know, it's easy to watch. It's not as easy to do because, you know, it comes with pushback. It comes with,
especially
you know,
in
feedback,
London, by the way.
Yeah. Especially in London. So yeah, I mean, if it's done in the right way, I'm definitely for it. And I think a lot of people in the industry are buzzing about that. I think, you know, it has some good faces on it. So let's see what happens. What do you guys think about the show?
No, in LA, I always said it when James and I first started Million Dollar Listing. It was pretty much when we, you know, we'd probably been in the industry for 6 months in LA, right? We did real estate in London, but in LA, we were about 6 months. We were pretty fresh. And it was so strange because coming from London, you know, the whole like mindset of the customer is like, agents don't have a good rep. Like estate agents typically, well, didn't before, right? Maybe they do now.
But still don't.
Okay, fine. I didn't want to like overstep the mark there by saying that. But James and I were sitting there and we were in LA and we were like, this is so weird because people celebrate realtors in LA. It's a totally different kind of like vision that they have, the customers, right? And here we were like two relatively newbies, young at the time, starting this show and people literally like giving us compliments and taking us really seriously. And it was just it was a culture shock to us, a good one, right? But it was interesting. And it'll be interesting to see with Selling London if that kind of shifts that dynamic between the perspective of the consumers to the agents in line with LA, for example. I don't know. What do you think?
I think Selling London, and I'm just giving you guys my genuine thought, I think it's going to be a massive success. I think Londoners may not like it and competitors may not like it. And we know Danny Daggers. We've known him most of our life. But I believe Selling London will be a huge success. I think the rest of the world are intrigued by London real estate. And I think it's time. You know, I think, like David said, estate agents have been badly looked upon in the UK. But when you have an outlet like Netflix, it's not the UK, it's the rest of the world. And I think people are going to be intrigued by UK real estate, UK life, UK drama. It's beautiful. And it's so different. It's so different to the US.
But it's beautiful architecture. I mean, you see like, you know, Million Dollar Listing New York, for example, right? You see these big buildings, but LA, you didn't have many single family homes like we do in LA. But London does have beautiful single family homes. It has beautiful architecture. It has beautiful density. And like James said, you know, it's fast paced. You're going to have some drama. I actually think it's great because we come from an amazing place. We really do.
Here's what I think. Toby Corbin, season 2, Selling London. Let's go.
Are you going to be in it, Toby, at all?
I mean, who knows? Who knows? You might see me pop up. No. But I think I'm with you guys, though. I'm with you guys. I think that it does. It's time for it. It's time for that kind of change. I think the only difference, the major difference, is that in the US it's a profession, whereas in the UK it's there's no licensing, there's no training. Right. You could just cowboy it essentially out of secondary school, and that might just be the fine line. That might just be the difference. But yeah, let's see. I think that Netflix is going to change things a lot. A lot of eyeballs, and there's a lot of professionals that are very, very good at what they do here, and they deserve the credit, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that 100%. This can do it for them.
Okay, it is 2024, and your real estate tech needs to keep up. Fortunately, Dave and I leverage Boomtown Pro, and the name really does say it all. It empowers professionals like us with lead gen, smart CRM, automation tools, AI capabilities, and white glove support to stay ahead of the game. To go ahead and claim $250 in free leads, visit insiderealestate.com/blueprint and use the promo code blueprint. That's insiderealestate.com/blueprint. It's amazing. A good disruptor, and we're excited to see it, and we wish them nothing but mad success. So changing direction, now that you're a realtor and we see you as a content creator, two of those are both very stressful jobs, and they're both full-time jobs in their own right, Toby. So how do you manage the demands of both? Like, how do you split your time?
Oh, for sure. So, I mean, now it's got to a point where I have a team who are essentially helping me, you know, with the content and then with leads. So that helps a lot. I think the basics has been waking up really early and,
yes.
You know, getting to work as soon as possible, while still, like, you know, paying attention to my health and taking care of myself. So yeah, it's really been about, you know, utilizing the team where I can and getting advice where I can on certain things, you know, in terms of content. I have a lot of help there too. So yeah, I guess the team side of things has really been what helps the most with splitting my time between the two. And I guess the best thing now is that, you know, the content is helping the core business. So in essence, I get to, you know, be quite selective with who I'm working with. You know, I would love to work with everyone, but sometimes it's not the right fit. And, you know, that's something that I have to appreciate too, because I want to make sure I'm giving my clients the best that I can.
Yeah.
So when it's the right client, when it's the right fit, I make sure it works out. So yeah, that's kind of been how I've been balancing the two.
Can you see yourself selling real estate in another market?
Oof.
The Toby expansion.
I definitely could. I think the US might be on the horizon. Who knows? But
well, you know where to find us, Toby.
Yeah, what you guys have done is you know, it's amazing. I've seen you guys, you know, million dollar listing for years now, and just to see some Brits out there. Really, I don't really know your full story in the UK. I just saw you guys.
You
in
don't
America,
want to know, like, it. No, I'm joking.
I mean, it would be good to get a bit of background. But I mean, were you guys which firms were you guys with in the UK?
So I started in the real estate industry literally at the age of 16.
And he walked straight into a lamppost.
Yes, I hated every second of school. I was thrown out of every school I ever stepped foot in. And I started in Northwest London in West Hampstead, a company called Dutch & Dutch. I did residential for 2 years, commercial for 2.5 years. Absolutely loved it. did well. And then I came to LA, which was supposed to be for 3 months. And that was 20 years ago now, which is just absolutely mental. And Dave, different path, but similar with real estate, which obviously, Dave, go ahead and tell everyone.
Well, just real quick, I just went into commercial real estate. I just kind of like tried to run before I could walk, which was a great lesson. Sometimes, you know, you learn from, you know, your fuck up, excuse my language. They say success is failure turned inside out, right? So thought I could go and buy a bunch of commercial real estate for an investor. The credit crisis hit. Everything got completely wiped out. Lawsuits, you name it. It got bad. But I was young enough. I was 24, 25. I could dust myself off. Had no responsibility. And James, my best friend, obviously was out here in LA. And I said, I'm out. I'm coming out, basically. And I did. And the rest is history. But I just want James to share one story about the lamppost. Please share it, James.
Yeah, so my first showing in real estate, I'm walking. I've done this showing. I'm feeling really good about myself. And I'm walking up a hill to get back to the office, and the two clients are walking ahead of me, and I'm walking behind them, and I'm looking down on my phone, and I went smack right into a lamppost and whacked my head, and I looked up and I was in agony.
Oh,
but these two clients, they didn't notice that I had done this, so I just stayed quiet. I was like, just get back to the office, no one will know. And I got to the top of the street, and these two guys turned around and they just looked at me and they go, are you all right, mate? And I go, yeah. I go, I'm fine. Why? And they go, your entire forehead's bleeding.
Oh, no.
So I was like, well, guys, I'm sorry to admit, but I walked into the lamppost right down the street.
Oh, my God.
And that was basically the story of my childhood growing up. Everything went wrong, but you figure it out, and that's how my real estate career started.
So
I gotta ask you, Tony, you recently told, for those that don't know, the newspaper The Standard, that your goal is to be a part of the change in the industry and to be at the forefront of innovation. So I want you to tell everybody, like, what does that mean for you? What do you want to change? How do you want to change it?
For sure. I mean, very big statement for me, but let me try and back it up here. I think that, you know, what I've been doing has been somewhat a change. You know, agency in the UK, I don't need to tell you guys this, but, you know, for the past 40, 50 years, it's been very traditional in every way, shape and form. And that's not to the wrong of anyone or anything. I think that, you know, systems just change, things change. We hit a tipping point, you know, during COVID, and everything went digital. To an extent, I was one of the first people to hop on TikTok and start posting things in the London market. And that was innovative. So I guess, you know, every day I'm trying to think differently about how I'm approaching things. While still staying in the guidelines, I think that now with a bigger audience, you know, I do have more eyeballs on me. So in essence, I have to be a bit more careful. But I'm still looking to see where I could provide more value. Whilst using tech. So if there's an avenue, if there's a road, if there's things that I can do that can help, I'm more than happy to look into it and entertain it. So I think that's really what I mean by that. That's what that statement means. So it's just a gradual growth with like innovation with the digitization of the world.
Love that, man. Good.
I didn't even know what Zoom was up until COVID. Did you know what Zoom was before COVID?
No, I didn't think it was that big.
I don't even know if I did, to be honest.
In the stock of Peloton, which is the bike thing, and Zoom went through the roof. Do you remember that? And then it kind of corrected afterwards, but crazy. But you're right. It's such an interesting thing. But I think my takeaway from you, Tobe, is, can I call you Tobe, by the way? I always shorten people's names.
Sure, that's fine. James keeps calling me Tony, though. So that's
Tony, Toby, Tone.
We had a Tony on once. My dad's called Tony, actually. So my takeaway from you is what you did is you turn a negative or a potential negative into a positive, right? Yeah. As you said, like you were hit by COVID, you were ready to go rock and roll, and COVID hit, and obviously you thought you made a mistake. But what you did is you turned that negative into a positive. And I actually think that's a really good rule of thumb for life. You know, sometimes we get tested and we think everything's going wrong. But in retrospect, if you stay on your lane and you really don't give up and you get creative and stay level-headed to a degree, you look back on those moments and you think they're the defining moments. You know, that's what was placed into me so I could evolve. And I have a lot of respect for you, Tobe, that you did that.
Thank you, David. I really appreciate that. Yeah, that was essentially it. I just, my back was against the wall. So I had to think, you know, what can I do? I can fold or I can try and look at the horizon and see things brighter. So that was the road that I took, I guess.
Love it.
Yeah, you really did. And you know, the other takeaway I've got from this from start to finish is everything you have said during this podcast has shown us at least that you're putting real estate first. You know, you're not actually putting social media as the first. Like when we were on the show, it was always the real estate first and then the show. And I think what you're doing that's very smart is you're just utilizing social media for real estate. And I think that's really smart because it can be very easy to get swayed and pushed and moved into other directions. But you're using this incredibly powerful platform to build your business, build your brand, build who Tobe Corbin really is. And this is a great way for people to get to know you, understand you, and then ultimately want to work with you. And I think that's impressive. I do want to know, what do you do outside of real estate? Like, how are you spending your free time? Are you still out shooting content on TikTok? What does Tobe do in his free time?
Do you take pictures of your food when you eat and stuff like that? Is it like addictive?
Here we go. He's moving to food. David loves food. Yeah. Yeah, I know where this is going.
I'm not one of those content creators, but I've seen a lot of those videos. They look kind of, I think one of the most viewed videos now is a video of strawberries with chocolate sauce.
Fast food. This is my feed. Just food. People eating food and cars as well, but.
That's a positive feed.
I was about to say, I am not showing you my feed.
No, it's all good. But yeah, it's that.
Go on, Tobe. What are you doing in your free time?
Oh, yes. So, free time. I'm with my loved one, my fiance. We spend a lot of time together. So thank you.
When are you getting married? When are you getting hitched?
In a couple months. Yeah. So,
We'll wait for the invite in the post, mate.
I'm here at my water.
So I spend a lot of time with her, and she's in the art world. So we go to a lot of galleries. She's getting me into art now, so I'm starting to look at it differently, and I like the story around certain pieces and artists. So that's really cool. I love sports: football, basketball, where I can, running, real estate content.
Love that, man. Is there any parting wisdom that you would like to share with our listeners, Tobe?
A lesson I've learned recently with going through the motions right now in my fifth year in real estate. And that's just, might sound a bit corny, but patience is a huge thing I've had to learn. I had to learn it the hard way. Sometimes you go into things expecting things to happen quickly, but that might not be the best route because sometimes you're not ready for those things that you want so quick. And I think that by waiting, you become something better, you become someone better. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a better outlook on things, I think. So, just the patience I've learned this past 5 years. Things will happen when they're supposed to happen.
And any old person, when I say old person, really old person, will say exactly the same thing. They have the insight 50-50. They have retrospect. They've been around. They've seen it. And they're normally so calm. You know what I mean? They've seen everything. All these little worries we have, all these little distractions we have, they're meaningless in the grand scheme. But I love that patience. I'm probably the most impatient person behind James, so it's good to.
At least you're number two. I'll happily take number one.
do you guys have any advice for me? I would love anything, man. Anything you guys think you could throw my way?
Go for it, Dave.
Just keep going and get creative. And just for James, for me, and I know James for a fact, it's just like, You know, we were going to work harder. We were going to work smarter. We were going to remain ethical. We weren't going to get greedy. And, you know, I mean, thank God these agents that took it to the next level, we could look up to, right? They really pushed the barriers. And it's like, if they can do it, why can't we do it? And that's just the way it is. That's the way I look at it. We're not reinventing the wheel. Yeah, you can, you know, get creative, but it's a proven industry. You can just take it to the max, and you're doing that. You're doing that.
My only advice to you, jokes aside, is I wouldn't put all of your eggs into one basket with social media. If, you know, social media is a great following, you can monetize it, but you're going to do very well in real estate. You're clearly very likable. You're clearly creative because you've already shown that in what you've been able to build and do thus far. Like, use it as a platform and think bigger. Like, I don't know the price point of homes that you're selling now, if it's $1 million or $3 million or $5 million, but, you know, we always say to our team, like, there's no difference in closing a £2 million house or a £50 million house. The commission's just 30 times bigger when you sell a £50 million house. So never sometimes feel like
the 50 million's easier.
Not sometimes, most of the time. Like, don't handcuff yourself because you're scared to get to the next level or jump through a hoop, or you think you're less than one of these big boy agents in the West End. Like, no, you're Toby, and you can make it happen, and you should go after it and get it because you've got as good of chance as any of your competitors do. So just don't have a ceiling to your success would be our advice.
Stay true to yourself, which you do a good job of.
Man, this has been great. Toby, thank you so much for joining, my man.
Thanks,
we've enjoyed getting to know you. We'd love to have you back on Rise Above the Ranks again in the near future. If you're ever in LA, please hit us up. We'd love to hang and grab a coffee and go to a Laker game. And we hope that everybody has enjoyed this segment with Toby Corbin. Thank you for listening to Rise Above the Ranks. And we will be back next week with a new episode. Thank you so much, Toby.
Thank you, Toby. Great to see you.